Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic Friday Flashback.
It seems like we're just, wallowing in commercialism on the Mike O'Mara Show, but I have to tell you my Chuck E. Cheese story.
Oh, good. You know what? These are all, here's what people should know.
I didn't get to this all week.
Should know that before the show, Mike and I, and when Oscar shows up, when he deems it appropriate to show up, right. We have a brief 5-minute meeting and we discuss a list of stuff that Mike's going to talk about. And there's certain things that I really get excited to hear. And since Monday, you've been saying, I got a Chuck E. Cheese story. Well, thank God you're getting to it.
Wednesday, he did so well with the beginning of school. I said, Daddy's going to pick you up on Wednesday, and we're gonna do something fun.
Okay.
Because he's been, that's a long day. I mean, it's like 20 to 7, and he gets off the bus at 2:55, which is basically 3 o'clock. That's a long day for
and after a six-year-old. After a total summer of being unstructured, I mean, that's a lot. He's jumping into the deep end right away.
Yeah, and I'm happy with him. I'm just really, it's just been a great experience. And for all you parents that have that, I'm happy for you. For those that don't, I get it.
Yeah.
But it's been fun for me, so I say I'll take out, and I didn't know what I was going to do with him. And then the great parent cop out, it's 300 degrees out here, so Taking him outside to do stuff is really not in
the cards. Casino is not good.
Yeah, as much as I as soon as he gets to be 10, man, it can't come fast. Yeah, 10.
Do they offer a playroom down there?
Doesn't matter. I'll leave him in the car with the air conditioner.
Let's go watch the dogs. I'm going to teach you what a trifecta is.
There you go, baby. Take a look at this, Michael. Some of those machines are just like watching a cartoon.
Exactly.
They're electronic. So I decide Chuck E. Cheese inside. We can hang out. We'll grab, dinner because Mama's going to her orientation for her classes that she's going to take. So I've got them for the whole afternoon. So it's the road less traveled. There's nobody, hardly anybody in the Chuck E. Cheese.
So it's an early afternoon Wednesday Chuck E. Cheese stop?
Yeah.
It's not exactly it's not exactly the time you're going to spot a birthday party in there.
No, not prime time at all. And I roll in there and it's cool. I'm fine with that. And he's running around grabbing his tickets. And I don't mind it. I'm running around with him and we're having a great time.
Are you running?
One time I actually ran.
Oh,
I actually ran.
Oh, you get excited because you're there.
Dad, come here. And I feigned running. I pretended running.
Well, you got your monthly quota of exercise in.
Testicle 2, I don't need any help from you either. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting there and I see this dude. And it's not really an iPhone as much as it's a small, iPad. He's on a device.
An iPad mini or a tablet,
Something that he's in. And this dude looks like a combination of Paul Giamatti and who's Ron Howard? Clint Howard.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a lot of good-looking people all in one.
He is, and I notice him, because I notice, a man by himself in a booth at Chuck E. Cheese, I get a little bit of a, warning, danger, Will Robinson.
And it's something that he probably realized it because, you realize when you're out of place. One time I took the kids to the Renaissance Festival and they're off, talking to the kings and getting their pictures taken with all the people. And I realized, hey, it's me. I'm 45 and I'm just walking around the Renaissance Festival by myself. People think I'm a creep.
But not the same stigma as a child's play center.
But yours is 5 times worse.
I had the same sensation at Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Jim has a secret, too.
Yeah. Look how happy he is.
I know.
He just loves coming in here and doing this, doesn't he?
I think I might lock him in here for the weekend.
See, this is a relief for my wife, because she's like, don't you ever stop talking. And I found people that accept me for my stickiness.
Don't go crazy, Jim.
Yes. Don't get happy. Anyway, so I'm watching this guy.
Yeah, he's just hanging at Chuck E. Cheese.
There are maybe 10 to 15 kids with their families in this place.
But no children with him.
But there are no children around him at all.
Oh, God.
Now, another dude, when we have our little pizza comes and we sit down and we're having a conversation.
How is the pizza?
And he's
how was
eating,
it made? By a machine?
I didn't have any, believe it or not.
Good for you.
I'm lying. I mean, could I ever not? You think you get a body like this without eating? I mean, it's him. And Carla wasn't there. Of course he ate pizza. I ate like three quarters.
So perhaps you got Chucky's salad. The rat garden salad.
We were right there. We were right near another rat salad bar. So,
oh, the salad bar is. I'm glad there are some places that still have salad bars because that's a great thing.
Another dude sits down on the booths on the other side
sure.
of us. And he sits down, and I don't even think this about him because I'm like, oh, he's obviously a dad.
Yeah.
That's like not getting into it, and he's got a spouse somewhere running around, and he's doing his own thing. But this is how the mind works, because you look at somebody and you see somebody. And so I'm running around Chuck E. Cheese, and there are maybe 3, 4, 5 moms around and a few dads around. And, you know, it's fun when the little ones will, like, crawl into a car that Michael's sitting in.
Yeah.
And at one point, this turbo, hottie comes up.
Nice.
And she looks like Margot Robbie. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
And her little like, in, you know, toddler comes up, and I'm trying to be nonchalant. And and she says, don't do that. Don't do that, Justin. Don't do that. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, I'm kind of leaning over like I'm feigning disinterest. I'm like, stay as long as you like. Then she says, ahead, hang around.
She says, he's been acting out since his father left. Oh.
Oh, hey. How
you
are
gotta.
You? And at the end of the day, I go back and we sit down again, and I'm coming back over, and this turbo hottie comes over to the table, and this is her hubby. This
really?
Is her hubby. And so the 60-year-old fat man with the beautiful wife said, see, it's not just me.
No.
It's, this is a guy that out-kicked his coverage like you would not. You would not believe. My mouth was agape. I thought this was Johnny Pervolino.
Sure.
Who was sitting there, you know. And now
I'm
listen,
here for the free Wi-Fi.
We've discussed this before. People come into, you know, workmen come in because it is cheap pizza. It is a cheap lunch. I've seen that before. But this was one where, you know, you're always on guard in an environment that's kid-centric because you're like, you think some creepo. This guy gets up. There's not a lot of interaction, so it's not like he's even engaging, but I have no idea whether I'm pretty sure this was her husband.
Okay.
It was stunning to see. It was special.
Did you swap any actual conversation with Margot Robbie?
Not really. No,
because I was thinking it would be nice, you know, just to be friendly. Obviously all adults are sort of uncomfortable at Chuck E. Cheese because it's an environment for children. And if you said, you know, we appear to be sort of outsiders here. Would you like to join me in the ball pit?
Oh, God. It is awkward, isn't it?
It is.
It's always awkward in that situation.
Oh, the worst. It's the absolute. I hated that place. And, you know, when you have kids in that age range, you go about 3 times a year. Usually you're responsible for one visit for yourself. Then there's a birthday party or a meetup or the, God forbid, the play date. And you just go there and say, what are we even doing to ourselves? Here comes the teenager dressed as a rat. Okay.
I know. Yeah. I didn't say anything to her. I just got it. I did say this. I said, it's okay. It's okay. He can crawl into, you know, he can stay as long as he likes. Here are my tickets.
Please,
here are my tickets for
please,
prizes.
Please,
here we go. Here are my lovely tickets. Yes, you beautiful lady. You're going in. And then, of course, as they were leaving, I shouted at the top of my lungs, you're going home with him?
TMOS Classic.
Speaking of Christmas, there is the big pageant that will be coming up shortly with my kids' school. And apparently, I came home and my wife informed me that my son is actually going to be the little drummer boy.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
And I thought,
some of it really fine.
Stuff, so really, really fine stuff. That's a beautiful thing.
Is it a non-denominational pageant? Because so many times when I was growing up in kindergarten and stuff, they couldn't do Christmas stuff.
PC.
They could do holiday stuff.
No, it's a Sikh church.
Oh, good.
Sikh.
That he goes to. It's the Sikhs. It's a Presbyterian church.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
To.
Okay, cool.
And I'm not a Presbyterian, so I don't know what the Presbyterians do.
They worship drums.
I think you have to go watch
the
River Runs Through.
You're in media, you should be a Presbyterian.
If
your Presbyterian pass.
Presbyterians are, it's a beautiful church. Yeah. And that's where we go to watch this little pageant. But apparently, I thought it was on merit. I thought it's because he's just cute as a button that that's the reason why he was selected. No, apparently they drew numbers out of a hat and he got lucky. He got the lucky number. All the kids, all the boys wanted to be the little drummer boy. And my son got lucky and he's going to be the little drummer boy in the Christmas.
Did someone get stuck with being animals?
Well, last year that they have like a ton of angels and they, you know, they yeah, trump extras. Them all through. They slide them in there and they do that. I don't think there's any dialogue.
Do you have to rehearse?
Yeah, yeah, he's been singing Pa-rumpa Pum Pum, and aww. Then he looks at me and he goes, come, they told me, and he looks at me with his little cute eyes and goes, poop, 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 poop. And I'm like, okay, we don't say that. We don't say poop. He's at that age now where everything is poop. You know, he's,
hey, that could, all that could go viral, though.
Yeah, I'm still making those jokes after all this time. Yes,
you know? He's at that age, 59.
Very, very, very difficult for me. Michael, that's not a source of humor. You're not supposed to do that. We don't do that on the Mike O'Mara show. We don't do that. Thank you. Thank you very much. But he's cute as a button, and I'm looking forward
have you
to
seen
seeing
what,
this.
What kind of costume will he have?
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal.
No, Mommy's been doing a lot more pick-up and drop-off with my newfound work and recreational schedule that Oscar was doing his very best to disrupt yesterday. But the fact is...
way to go, Oscar.
Wouldn't want to interrupt your day, Mike, with a little work.
I knew exactly what you were doing, too. Oscar and I had a little text exchange.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Oscar knows what I'm doing on Friday at noon and said, hey, you're going to be available for an interview Friday at noon? I said, no, I can do it a little earlier.
Trying
than
to help,
Oscar.
Yeah.
Then Oscar takes me. Oscar, Oscar takes
12:05.
By the way, and all these texts are coming at 4:15, which I call Oscar time.
Is that Oscar time?
Because that's when you're finally awake.
I got a text. If you must know, I was
I
was trying to book a guest for book him on a national radio show.
I know.
And I was
know,
like, well, I could either and I actually was going to wait till you were done.
I got to give this to Rob.
But they needed to know.
This is funny.
What, you got the actual log of the text?
Yeah. I want your analysis, Rob.
All right, very good.
Okay. So, yesterday, let me see what time it is. This is fun.
Those of you keeping track at home, see who really cares and who doesn't.
All right, it's not 4 o'clock. It's 3:02. Can you go on Chris Freights, who I'm doing
right.
The political persuasion show with, and a wonderful guy. Can you go on the Freights Sirius XM show on Friday at noon? Quick hit, 15 minutes. I said, can't do noon, but I can do 11. Now, I know when I'm sending that to Oscar,
yes.
he knows exactly why I can't do it. He knows that. He knows enough about
when
me.
When you hit send, is it a very slow, deliberate send? You say, can do 11. Send.
I said, I can't do noon, but I can do 11, or in a pinch, 11:30. So immediately, no hesitation, Oscar writes back, noon is the earliest they can do. That's the pre-tape time. Up to you. There's the passive aggressive right there. Yeah. Up to you. He wanted to cross-promote. Like, I didn't know he wanted to go. Of course I know he wants to cross. So would you like to know what my response was?
Yes.
Nope. Oh. I said nope.
Must feel pretty good.
This is why we're still here and not on the radio. You know what I mean?
That's exactly your soul. That's the window into. I know you believe that with every fiber of your being.
Sorry, that tea time's not going to go anywhere.
Okay, I'll tell him next time. He sent you an email, and then I didn't know that. So I go to the email, and then I get the same kind of thing from Mr. Freights.
Right.
And then they worked it out where I will be going on his show, and I will be going on Friday. So Friday I'll be on Sirius XM to talk to Mr. Chris Freights, who is Maya. But I knew,
and you'll have a new episode.
We know what we're doing, Oscar. When we're doing that, don't
oh
we?
Yeah,
we know. I know you're rolling your eyes.
I know that you know.
Right. As I told Chris, it's not that he doesn't care. It's that he has a lifestyle he's accustomed to.
Yeah. He is a man who has a routine.
I hope you didn't say that, you son of a...
Anyway,
you did. Okay.
I said he cares enough to move our schedule on Wednesday. He's committed. But not his schedule on Friday.
You know, man's got to live. Anyway, we got to take a break, and we will come back. And,
I don't see that as being a typical process, nor do I. Is it a typical process to
all right,
be working on?
We've got to go now. I want to thank you both. Thank you. All right, it's back to you, Jim.
Ollie, don't let her go away. What does she have a response to that? Is she still there?
What's that?
Did the lady just leave?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. We should have kept that discussion.
She's back if you want her.
Yes.
She heard you.
Yes.
What would you like to know?
I'd like to know a response to what the gentleman said. The gentleman's a very effective spokesperson for the company, but obviously the people who live there are not satisfied with his explanation.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
Why don't you do that later, Jim? I think the lady expressed herself, and you're not here, you're there. Is there any question you'd like me to ask her?
No, I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later.
I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Yeah, you were, and are no longer. How did that happen?
I don't know.
Here's Aaron Bildermillo.
Okay, now, wait a minute, Herb. Why don't we ask her a little more about the robbery? Like, what time was it?
What's that?
What time was it?
Oh, all right. What time is it?
It's like 10 a.m.
10 a.m., Jack. You ought to wear a watch. When I was an anchor, I always wore a watch.
No, Herb, ask her what time she heard the shots.
All right, well, what time do you hear the shots?
I think it was around 8:30, but... My kid saw everything. Everything.
Thank you. Take it away, Jack.
No, Herb, it sounds like the children may have seen the shooting. Okay, why don't we talk to one of them, Herb?
You call me Mr. Welch.
All right, Mr. Welch. Ask who saw the shooting.
All right, now. Who saw the shooting?
My boy, Ricky.
All right. Come here. I got him. Now, what do you want me to do?
Ask him what he saw.
Right. What'd you see?
I saw two guys come running out of the store, and they jumped into a little red car.
Who's your favorite baseball player?
What? What are you talking?
They didn't jump in a car. They jumped in a van.
Who are you?
I'm his sister.
Stupid. It was a car.
It was a van. You don't remember.
Yeah, I do.
No. Okay. Ow. Hey.
You were what?
Okay, Herb. Quit hitting them with the microphone. Herb, this is ridiculous. Stop it.
What?
Stop it.
Hey, I'm not going to take reporter lessons from some haircut.
Well, maybe you should because you're a lousy reporter.
Hey, excuse me, Jack. All due respect, I don't think you should yell at Mr. Welch so much. He's just a little confused, all right?
That's right.
A lot of different apartments before we found him in the hall, but considering how old he is, he's on a pretty good job.
This broadcast, by the way, is brought to you by Kale's Brill Cream.
No, it's not.
You son of a bitch.
Okay, Herb. All right, this was a big mistake. Right, we apologize to you at home. We'll follow up on that story later. Coming up, some local residents are up in arms about asbestos found in their building. Oh, and some sad news. We've just received word that veteran reporter Herb Welch died 5 seconds ago.
I'm not dead, you bastards.
Oh.
Come on.
TMOS Classic. Oh.
News.
One of the wildfires in California is threatening a beachfront home owned by Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, no! She's so nice!
And Portia de Rossi also. She's a knockout. Yeah. It's not clear if they've evacuated yet, but over the weekend they did remove their pets from the house. Ellen tweeted, quote, "Our house is under threat of being burned. We just had to evacuate our pets. I'm praying for everyone in our community and thankful to all the incredible firefighters." Listen, to the people that are dealing with that world out there, our friends in Northern California, our friends in Southern California, good Lord. That is
something horrifying.
That, Really, really stunningly horrible to have to deal with that. She added, quote, everyone in the Montecito area is checking up on each other and helping get people and animals to safety. I'm proud to be part of this community. I'm sending lots of love and gratitude to the fire department and sheriffs. Same fire threatening the homes of other celebs, Oprah, Jeff Bridges, Drew Barrymore, Patrick Stewart, Rob Lowe, who did evacuate. Rob Lowe did. So, but
it is evacuates. So scary, the notion. Of having to leave everything. It's just horrifying. I can't imagine.
And if you watch the 60 Minutes piece last night with Jerry Brown talking about, you know, you got at a certain point, you just got to say, this has never happened before. How many never happened befores are we going to have in like in a 5-year period before maybe we start accepting the reality that we're causing this crap? I mean, I think you have to worry about it. It's terrifying. And when you see an entire hillside and so many hills, beautiful hills, dry brush on these hills in California, when you see a glowing ember, it's absolutely terrifying. Our best goes out to everybody. I have more good news, though.
Good.
Angelina Jolie and John Voight are speaking again.
Thank God.
Hooray. Angelina says, quote, John and I have gotten to know each other through grandchildren now, and we're finding a new relationship. We've had some difficulties, but through art, we've been able to talk. It's the common language. We don't really talk politics well. We talk art very well. Voight is a pretty avid Republican, so it stands to reason that Angelina is not. Things might be improving, but they can't be that amazing if she's still calling him John.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with calling your parents by their first name.
Oh, that's you've really done that weird. For years,
yeah.
Right?
You've done and you know the real reason behind this has nothing to do with art or politics. She What's wants that? To get her hands on some of that tasty National Treasure money.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. All right. Major League Baseball might want to start making the Yankees World Series rings. Ladies and gentlemen, as a Red Sox fan, I can tell you that once again, the tide is beginning to turn, and the Yankees are turning back again into the evil empire. They just got the National League's best player, the home run leader, Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins, who are getting rid of every player that's decent because they're cheap. Stanton gets into a lineup that's already awesome. Aaron Judge, the home run machine. Mm-hmm. An AL Rookie of the Year. The Yankees are sending the Marlins some infielder. I don't even know the guy's name. Starlin Castro. And some prospects. It's a typical Yankees deal because they've got all the money.
They're sending them Ron Say, Mike.
Yes. Why would Miami give up on one of the few bright spots they have? Well, they stink. And they've stunk for way too long. And they need to make a lot of changes in getting rid of Stanton's $325 million contract.
Oh,
that's going to
happen. God.
Yankees are printing money. And the Red Sox do the same thing, but they didn't get Giancarlo.
They're
going to
give,
so.
They're going to give, I mean, as far as a lineup is concerned, I can't, I mean, when it, the $500 million guy is going to be DC's finest, right? He's finally going to go to the Yankees, or is it going to be the Red Sox? There's no way he stays here.
It's kind of the way it goes. But, you know, back in the day when the Yankees got everybody, it was a fun team to hate, so it's probably going to be good for baseball to have a guy like Giancarlo Stanton in a Yankee lineup because you'll hate them more, okay. Like I do. Thank you. According to a new study, the average American spends $1,175 a year ordering takeout and delivery, which works out to about $70,000 in their lifetime.
Wow.
If you spend more than $100 a month on delivery, it might be more than that. Here are five more stats about our food delivery habits. 82% of people say they order food at least twice a month. Only 4% said they'd never order delivery. 47% of us feel like we order food too much, and 52% feel guilty about it. The top three reasons for ordering food are you're craving something, you're too lazy to cook, and you don't have time. 18% say they're worse at cooking than they used to be because of ordering too much food. And the most popular thing we order, anyone? Anyone in the
pizza.
Class? What's pizza! Pizza, which isn't surprising. The rest of the top five are French fries, burgers, fried rice, and egg rolls, which, of course, is Chinese food.
Right,
so
right.
That's the way it is. But you guys figure you're at the $70,000 a year mark?
We've cut way back because it is. Right. We did figure out it is a money vampire.
Don't you order in bulk?
How do you mean?
Like your
he
takeout.
Cooks a lot.
Your takeout.
Rob
cooks
a lot.
Yeah, I do.
I know that.
Yeah, how about that?
We don't do a lot of Carla does did a lot of like the Wendy's chili and stuff like that for lunch. But as far as dinner time, the only time that we would have those run out for fast food or something like that would be cravings. It's never like because we're not.
But sometimes you just got to get a pizza. Sometimes
and then
you just
there's a guanaria. Carla in unhinged her jaw, by the way, when I laid that on her from Rob's BY. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, the Salvation Army gets almost 40% of its annual donations from those red buckets that they set up outside grocery stores. It's 40%?
Really?
40%.
Wow.
On Wednesday, volunteers checked a red kettle that was set up outside a grocery store in Portland, Oregon. And there was a $100 bill on top. That's a pretty good haul.
Yeah.
Then they realized it wasn't the only $100 bill in the bucket. It turned out someone had walked in and tossed 100 $100 bills in the bucket. If you're not great at math, that's $10,000, ladies and gentlemen.
Cool.
It's the largest single donation they've ever gotten in the Portland area. The largest in the U.S. was probably 2 years ago when someone dropped a check for $500,000 into a Salvation Army kettle in Minnesota. I love stories like that.
And you know what? It's like every year, I think somebody in some city donates a Krugerrand, but they don't realize it until they're counting out because it looks just like they're putting a coin in.
Right,
but they're putting
exactly.
in pure gold, and it's a huge donation. I love hitting up and putting money in the kettle, even if it's just some, pocket change.
I like to do it too.
Speaking of money, Mike, I was curious about this as far as the Yankees and the Red Sox and who's going to get Bryce Harper. The Red Sox at this point, with all the money going to Stanton, they might go to the Red Sox. Harper might go to the Red Sox.
Not on their radar right now. There's some other guys, and I am not so plugged in. And the superstar level of some of these guys not at the level where it should be. There's Abreu. There's Martinez. I'm not sure, but I have not heard. I read the Boston Globe every day, and I have not read the Bryce Harper thing. I think Bryce Harper's got a good chance of staying with the Nationals. What do you read in D.C.? Does it look like he's going to stick around?
This article from the Times essentially breaks down the fact that his dream of becoming a Yankee and all the money that there was a school of thought that said the Yankees were saving up for Bryce Harper for the half a billion.
Bryce Harper would be a perfect Yankee.
But for the $500 million play, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's not up yet, though, right?
He's not up in a year.
Yeah.
In a year.
Yeah.
When
it's,
he is
a shocker
up,
that Bryce Harper wants to be a Yankee.
When he is up, though.
How do you really feel?
Bryce Harper. I think he's perfect for the Yankees. If they get him after Giancarlo Stanton, I'm going to hate the Yankees just like I did when A-Rob was on the team.
Well, what I'm saying is with Stanton in play now, those dollars aren't what they used to be, right? So
it's
over 10 years.
It's always going up. It's always going up for the marquee players. And by the way, in baseball, in football, in basketball, in major league sports, just like in the rest of society, the rich get richer and the other guys kind of just wallow down around the bottom. But of course, in major league baseball, you can wallow in the bottom of a bullpen and make $10 million a year, which is sick.
And while we're talking sports, we'd be remiss if we didn't congratulate the Washington Redskins.
Okay. Hey, Paula, I'm going to marry you.
Favorite time of year when I used to announce for them when that phrase, statistical elimination, happens. Because there was never a more excited home crowd.
What a sad game.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Bad stuff.
Yeah. You see, well, it wasn't a home crowd because they played in
I'm saying when I was there after the elimination and you'd walk out on the field, they really didn't care about me then.
Yes, December rolls around and a shot of Kirk Cousins on the end of the bench with his head in his hands.
Yeah,
yes,
he should pray on that at a prayer breakfast.
Must be Redskins football. Oops. And now a little something. Crews responded Thursday morning to a stretch of Pennsylvania highway where an overturned semi-truck spilled boxes of vodka onto the roadway. Police say the truck overturned at about 4 a.m. Thursday. The vehicle spilled its load of Tito's vodka onto the road.
Not bad.
Traffic was affected for nearly 10 hours as crews worked to clean up a mess and remove the truck. The roadway reopened shortly before 2 p.m. The driver of the truck suffered minor injuries and was taken to a local hospital to be checked out, firefighters said. The accident took place just over the city line of a town called Cerritoville, Pennsylvania. Where's all my Tito's at?
Hey, good news, Jimmy. The driver was marked safe.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.